This is Fresh Brew with me, Jason Vandermark.
How many of you got your Bibles with you? No woohoo, no nothing. Colton, my man. Colton, my man. We're going to be in Luke. Somebody say 9:23. Here's the deal about 9:23. I think I told you this maybe a while ago. I have been seeing 9:23. I told you guys that God really likes to show numbers to me. I don't know why he throws numbers at me. But for whatever reason, I pay attention to numbers. And 9:23 just kept coming at me and coming at me. And I'm like, okay, Lord, what's the big deal about 9:23? And you're going to have to really show me what you mean about 9:23. And I would always see it on the clock. And when you look at time, you always see a number. Then what's the symbol next to it? Colon, right? And then another number, right? Well, what does that look like to you? Looks like a Bible verse, doesn't it? So I'm like, okay, Lord, are you trying to show me a Bible verse? Are you trying to show me some sort of message? What are you trying to pull out? A little bit later on, the day that I was praying about it, this video came up about Mark 9:23. Does anybody know what Mark 9:23 says? Bunch of heathens don't know your Bible. I know. Colton, what is it?
It's right when they were casting out the demon from the kid that was possessed.
And what does he say?
This demon can only come out with fasting and prayer.
With God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. And how many of you know that? With God, all things are possible. Now, catch a hold of that. With God, some things are possible. All things. Okay, I want you to take 1 minute, just 1 minute, and probably less than that, because I got a sermon to preach. And I want you to take time, and I want you to think about some of the things that you're battling right now, whether it's in your life physically, whether it's spiritually, whether it's emotionally, whatever it is, whatever you're battling, I want you to think about it for a moment. Just a moment. Now, with God, some things are possible. All things are possible. But God didn't stop there with me. He didn't go, okay, yeah, that's great. God, all things are possible. So let's go to Luke 9:23, because he decides to show me this too, because it's kind of, I don't want to say a contingency, but there's a contingency here. Okay? And in 9:23, he says this. Well, let's go to 9:22. He says, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by elders, chief priests, scribes, and be killed and raised up. Somebody say raised up. Raised. We're going to hold on to that. Raised up on the third day. And he was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must do what?
Deny himself.
And then do what? Take up your cross. And how often? Oh, man. And do what?
Follow me.
So, deny yourself. Let's go back to it real quick. I'll give you 10 seconds this time. Go back and think about what you were just thinking about, what you're battling with, what you're struggling with, what you're dealing with. 10, 9. Now, Jesus said, if you're going to do this, if all things are possible with God, if you're going to do this, you must first do what? What's the first step before that? Oh, so everything you're going through right now, we must first deny ourselves, and then we must take up cross and do what? Here's my question to you. Somebody tell me, what's your end game here? I mean, football's pretty big right now, right? What's the end game in football? What's the end game in basketball? What's the end game in golf? How are you going to win in golf? I think that side needs a little Jesus. How are you going to win in golf? Low score. How are you going to win in football? How are you going to win in basketball? That's right. Yes. Yeah, so you know your game, right? How many of you know how to play the game that you're involved in? What's the end game with Christianity? Is it? I want to challenge that thought because I think we all think that. That the end game is to get to heaven. But what if the end game was not a place, but it was a person? So when I get to heaven, is it worth it if Jesus is not there? No. Of course he's going to be there. But if he wasn't, would it be worth it? See, here's the deal. We live sometimes to go to heaven, but we forget that Jesus is going to be there, and we don't live for the person who's going to be there. We live to get there. We say things like, when I get to heaven, I'm going to do this. I'm going to go drive my Jeep around all day. I don't know. I'm going to go meet with the people that I loved. I'm going to meet with the people that have passed away. I'm going to meet with whoever. I'm going to go see Peter and Paul and James and Mary. What's that band? Peter, Paul, and Mary. I don't know if they'll be there, but I will meet the Peter, the Paul, and the Mary when I get there, right? We say things like that, but we forget that when we get to heaven, what's the main goal? Jesus. Jesus is the main goal. But here's the deal about Jesus. If I take up my cross, if I deny myself now, somebody say now. If I deny myself now and I take up my cross now, I can have Jesus then? Now. I can live for Jesus now. Not tomorrow, not when I die, but now. If Jesus is my portion, this is the main point. Take this home with you. And then if you want to sleep the rest of the sermon, that's your prerogative. If Jesus is my portion, then my end game is right. If Jesus is my portion, I'm playing the game. I'm living out the game now. And the end game is I've already got it. The finished work of Jesus is already done, right? When he went to the cross, what did he say? It is done. It is finished. I have that work now. That's happened now. If Jesus is my portion, I can take that with me. Now, I want to show you something. Because they missed it back then. Let's go to John 5, if you're in your Bible. Actually, let's go to John 7. I'm sorry. Actually, let's go. No, I'm kidding. John 7. After these things, Jesus was walking in Galilee, for he was unwilling to walk in Judea because the Jews were seeking to kill him. Okay, it says this. Now the feast of the Jews, and what's the feast called? Feast of Tabernacles, Feast of Booths. I don't know what some of your translations say. Feast of Tents, maybe. Feast of Tabernacles. In Hebrew, it's called Sukkot. And it literally means, it's referencing the fact that God tabernacles among his people. So they build tents for 7 days, and they live in the tents for 7 days. It kind of reminds them of when they were in the wilderness, and God was with them in the wilderness. How many of you are in the wilderness right now? It seems like you're in the wilderness. How many of you have arrived? Okay. So if you're in your wilderness, and you have your tent, your tabernacle, you know that God dwells with you, right? If Jesus is my portion, grab it. If Jesus is my portion, do I get him now or later? Now. And later, but now. Okay, so it's the Feast of Booths, and that was near. And he's going on and on, and he's telling them, let's just read through this. Therefore, his brother said to him, "Leave and go into Judea so that your disciples may see your works for which you are doing. For no one does anything in secret when he himself seeks to be known publicly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world." For not even his brothers were believing in him. So Jesus said to them, "My time is not here, but your time is always opportune. The world can't hate you, but it hates me because I testify of it that its deeds are evil. So go up to the feast yourselves. I do not go to this feast because my time has not fully come." Well, how many of you know what happens? Does he go? Jesus ends up going. So he gets there. And what does it say? "Yet no one was speaking openly of it. But when it was now in the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple," verse 14, "and he began to teach. The Jews were astonished, saying, 'How has this man become learned, having never been educated?' So Jesus answered them and said, 'My teaching is not mine, but his who sent me. If anyone's willing to do his will, he will know of the teaching, whether it's of God or whether I speak for myself. He who speaks from himself seeks his own glory. But he who is seeking the glory of the one who sent him, he's true, and there's no unrighteousness in him. Did Moses give you the law, and yet none of you carries out the law? Why do you seek to kill me?' So they said, 'Well, you have a demon.' 'No, who seeks to kill you?' And Jesus answered them, 'I did one deed, and you all marvel.'" Do you know what the one deed was? He made somebody whole. Somebody say whole. On the Sabbath. Do you know what that means? That means on the day of rest, he made somebody whole. How many of you, this is how he says it to them, how many of you, if your sheep falls into a pit on the day of Sabbath, you will pull them out? How many of you would do that? If your dog or your sheep or whatever, if it fell in a pit on the day of Sabbath, how many of you would pull it out? Yeah, and that's what he said to them too, right? And he says, "So here I am, I'm making my sheep whole." How many of you are still going through some battles? Raise your hands if you're going through some battles. The things that we thought about a minute ago. And he said you should deny yourself, right? Take up your cross daily and follow him, right? And he will do what for you? He will make you whole. So they're giving him crap because, and I said crap in church, I hope that's okay. They're giving him crap because he made somebody whole on the Sabbath, because he did something amazing on this day that they were so legalistically saying, "You shall not work, you shall not do a thing." And he made them whole. And he says, "Just because I did this one deed, you all marvel." Because, and he says, "For this reason, Moses has given you circumcision, not because it's from Moses, but from the fathers. And on the Sabbath, you circumcise a man." Why do you circumcise a man? It's a sign of the covenant. Why does Jesus make you whole? It's a sign of his covenant, right? Because his body and his blood should make you... Ooh, I don't know if y'all believe that. His body and his blood should make you... Because of the work he did on the... On the cross. Yeah. He says, "If a man receives circumcision on the Sabbath so that the law of Moses won't be broken, are you angry with me because I made an entire man well on the Sabbath?" Don't judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. And he goes on a little bit longer, and then he talks about, I think it's in verse, or chapter 5. Let's go back to chapter 5 real quick. Because they were so legalistic. Yeah, chapter 5 and verse 39. They were so caught up in the legalism of Sabbath, and you shall not do the work, you shall only rest, you can only do this stuff on Sabbath. And he says to this, "You search the scriptures because you think in them you have what? Eternal life." He says, "But all of them testify about Jesus, me, Jesus. And you are unwilling to come to me so that you can have..." Because Jesus makes you, Jesus makes you, Jesus makes you. I'm going to grab it. Jesus makes you, Jesus makes you, now or later. Did you catch that? Jesus makes me whole now. I think that we have people in this room that could testify that Jesus heals. I think that we have people in this room that could testify that through their darkest hour, Jesus has been with them, right? I think we could testify about those things because Jesus makes us whole. What is your end game? Is it getting to a place or is it getting to the person of that place? Because if it's getting to the person of that place, the Bible says on earth as it is in heaven, thy kingdom come, it can happen now. Yeah, if Jesus is my portion, if I deny myself, if I take up my cross and I follow him, then he is faithful and true to make me whole. Not later, but now. If Jesus is my portion. So when I think again, when I ask you this question, I want you to figure out what it is. What's in your heart? Don't give me the Sunday school Jesus answer. In fact, you don't have to answer it, but what truly is your end game, personally? Have you been living your life to get to heaven, or have you been living your life to get to Jesus, who is in heaven? Okay, because if you're living your life just to get to heaven, then you are probably resting on your works. And how many of you know that your works are filthy? It doesn't matter what kind of righteousness you think that you have, your works can't get you there. If your works could get you there, the cross would be of no value to you. Amen? If that's the case, and if you're working towards heaven and you're working on your works, then we need a come to Jesus moment. If your end game is Jesus, then you have to know that, and you have to know this. This is 2 + 2 = 4. I don't care what Common Core math says. If you believe that Jesus is your end game, if you believe that Jesus is your portion, if you believe that Jesus is your now, then you have to believe that the work of Jesus has already been finished because he went to the cross and he said, it is finished. Right? You have to believe that that is not for the later, that's for the now. That if you would deny yourself and if you would take up your cross and you would follow him, that you would have everlasting life. And it's, and the Bible says that you would go from this life right into the next. Let me show you this. John chapter 12. Because I'm not just going to spout off scripture at you right now and hope that you go find it later. I want you to see this now. I was in John chapter 12 today. What a powerful thing. Verse 24, truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. He who loves his life does what? He's going to lose it. And he who hates his life in this world will keep it until eternal life. So, in other words, if you're going to follow Jesus, you got to deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow him. Because if you would hate your life, and what he means is if you're not going to cling on to your life and you would cling on to eternity, if you would cling on to the life that God has for you, that you would live out that life even now until eternity. And if you would, if you're not that, if you're going, I really love my life here and I don't really, you know, I'll go to heaven when it's my time, when I'm old and gray and whatever, when I'm fully done with this life, when I'm done doing all the things I want to do, then you will probably experience death. Somebody said this. I'm going to pull up my phone. I promise you I'm not texting anybody. And it was this thing I found online. And it said this. When Christianity is working, what we care about is neighbor. Somebody say neighbor. Okay. Now, get this. When Christianity is not working, what we care about is Christianity. Let that sink in for a second. When we care, when Christianity is working, we care about who? When Christianity is not working, what do we care about? Christianity. Why? Because we're consumed with the religious aspect. We're consumed with the legalism. We're consumed with the works. We're consumed with, I don't know about you, but sometimes when I think about death and mortality, and I have lately because, you know, we've had somebody close pass. And I don't know why it does that to me. I don't know why Does anybody else do that? When you have somebody close to you pass away, you think about your own mortality? It's a struggle, isn't it? And so when you think about your own mortality, you think, well, what if I get there and he says, away from me, I knew you not? What if I get there and he doesn't say, well done, good and faithful servant? Now I'm putting it all on my works, aren't I? But he said this, when he said, well done, good and faithful servant, he said, because you did these things. And then in the scripture, it says that the person said this, I don't remember doing them. When did I see you? When did I do those things? And he said, whenever you did this for them, you did it for me. How many of you have probably done things that you didn't know you did? Yeah, okay. But we're so worried about our works being our salvation that we've missed it because we want to get into heaven. We don't want to get to Jesus. I don't care about Jesus. Jesus is just this guy that's going to get me to heaven. No, Jesus is this guy that's bringing heaven to me right now and brings me into heaven when I die. Grab a hold of that. Jesus is the guy that brings heaven to me. When you prayed this morning, you said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If you didn't mean that, please don't pray it. But if you meant that, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus is the one who brings heaven and God's will to me right here, right now, and then brings me unto heaven where I can be in his presence. You grab it? Okay, because that's a prayer. That's not a new thought. That's a prayer that we have been praying for how many centuries now? Yeah. So Jesus is my portion now. He is my heaven now. Yeah, I'm going to have trials and tribulations. Yeah, I'm going to have down moments. I'm going to have moments where I feel dried out. I'm going to have moments where I don't feel his presence. I'm going to have all those moments. You know why? Because he said, if you love this life, you're going to... If I didn't have trials and tribulations, if I didn't have those things that I battle with, I would probably love this life a whole lot more. I have a pretty decent house. I've got some decent friends, I think. I hope. I've got people surrounding me whom I love. If I didn't have trials and tribulations, you guys, I got it made. But I got trials and tribulations because I'm not meant to like this life so much. I'm meant to like eternity with Jesus. And if I grab a hold of that now, I can live that kind of life now. And if I live that kind of life now, he will bring me unto eternity. And it's not my works, but whose? Jesus' works. I pray that you would think about that today. I pray that Jesus, when you leave here, would be your portion. There is a basket back there. I don't know. Greg, were you handing these out earlier? These crosses? Okay. There's a basket back there. I don't have my cross on me. Okay. It's a little, what do we call them, John?
Worry cross.
We had somebody who wanted to donate these crosses. They're little little handheld crosses. They got a little bit of a curvature in it. And at the very, right where the crosses, the two beams meet on a cross, there's a little heart. And if you would put your thumb in that, it's supposed to symbolize that you have the heart of Jesus and the pulse. You know, you all got your pulse, right? And your thumb, if you would, this is a little cross here. If you all want one, they're back there. I'm going to hand them out at the end of the service. But I want you to remember that if Jesus is my portion, if my pulse matches his pulse, if my heart matches his heart, then I am living the life that he has called me to live. Amen? And then he will bring me, not just let me go until I die, but he will bring me unto eternity himself even now. And I will live that life out even now. And if I'm worried, I can grab a hold of this because there's no worry in Christ. If I'm fearful, I can grab a hold of this. There's no fear in Christ. If I'm anxious, I can grab a hold of it because there's no anxiety in Christ. Because the Bible says, cast all your cares upon him, right? And what will he do? Let's go back to it. He will make you. Do you believe it? He will make you whole. One more time, real quick, and then we'll be done. Think about that moment. Think about those things you're battling. And I want you to, when you get your cross, I want you to take it and you go, He will make me whole. He will make me whole. It's already finished. He will make me whole. This isn't a talisman. It's not a little lucky charm. It's a reminder that Jesus already did the work on the cross. Let's pray.
You've been listening to Fresh Brew with me, Pastor Jason Vandermark. Hey, this is Pastor Jason. I wanted to invite you to our Sunday service at 9:30 a.m. It's low-key, come as you are. We're a pretty down-to-earth crowd. We come and worship and sing His praises. We dive into the Word of God, and we hang out and have fun. Not sure about it yet? Check us out on Facebook and YouTube. Join in on a live stream and see what we're about. While you're at it, check us out on the web at a2cchurch.com. That's a2cchurch.com. Hope to see you soon.
Hey moms, feeling overwhelmed, under-caffeinated, or just craving some real connection? Introducing Mom Connect, your local lifeline to friendship, support, and sanity. Whether you're a new mom, a working mom, a seasoned mom, or somewhere in between, Mom Connect is where real conversations and real friendships begin. The monthly meetups are on the third Wednesday of the month because motherhood's amazing, but it's better when we do it together. And bonus, childcare is provided. Join Mom Connect today. Let's laugh, cry, vent, and grow together. Mom Connect. You're not alone. You're a mom, and you're connected.
Visit a2cchurch.com for more details.